السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am very excited to be back on the airwaves of Radio Islam International since my last Goodreads program, which was during the month of Ramadan. So from myself, Sunaida, I would like to say a big jazakillahu khairan for all your responses, comments, and queries regarding the books I have reviewed. As always, my program is aimed at enlightening you and improving yourself through knowledge and reading. And today's book is no exception. And you know what I always say, knowledge is power. So I will be in your company until 3 o'clock this afternoon, inshallah, where I will be discussing a rather important book on the Goodreads slot, and thereafter inspiring you on the Zoonspiration slot, where I will pick up where we left off. So without further ado, let me introduce you to the English translation and commentary of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi's Al-Aqidatu al-Tahawiyya. So this English translation has been prepared by Maulana Fahim Hussein. And I'll be honest with you, I was required to study the Arabic book. It was actually a prescribed textbook and part of my syllabus. But when I came across the English translation on Twitter, I was really excited. And this is because I feel it's a must-read book. So yes, while we all know our basic aqidah, refreshing on the important and fascinating details of shifa'at and the arsh and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets, angels, the scriptures are all vital, and a reminder is beneficial for a believer. So I was a bit skeptical, thinking that the readers might find this book too academic, so I put my husband to the test. And when I saw that he was really enjoying reading it, all doubts in this regard quickly vanished from my mind. So I would like to stress that yes, this does make a good read. It's actually an essential read, and it's not just for academic purposes. And I think that this is because of the topic and the nature of the topic. The word aqidah is from the Arabic aqada, which means to bind something. In English, aqidah would be translated as creed, which is from the Latin credo, which means what you believe. And this English translation that I have with me is, alhamdulillah, very well printed and presented. I have the soft cover edition, which was completed in 2011 in Durban. It has been published by the Azhar Academy in London. And the book is currently available for purchase from the Jamiat Bookshop, the Jat Publishers. However, I've been told that the store will only be opening in September of this year, and I've also been told that there are only a limited number of books available. However, Maulana Fahim is hoping to do a reprint soon, so if you don't get a copy, then I strongly suggest that you keep this on your TBR list. Okay, so let me tell you about the translator and the commentator, Maulana Fahim Hussein. Maulana is an alim and a hafiz who hails from Stanger in KwaZulu-Natal. He also holds a BA degree, which he obtained from the University of Johannesburg. And Maulana is no stranger to translating and writing books and has authored a number of books, mashallah. Now, before getting into the discussion of the book, it is imperative for me to tell you about Imam Tahawi. His full name is actually Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Salman ibn Salama al-Azdi. But he is popularly known as Imam Tahawi because he comes from a town called Taha al-Amida in Egypt. He was a follower of Imam Abu Hanifa in both the sciences of hadith and fiqh, as well as in theology. And he is regarded as an outstanding authority in the field of jurisprudence. And he is also viewed as a distinguished muhaddith. So Imam Tahawi studied under Imam Ahmed ibn Abi Imran, who himself studied under the two well-known students of Imam Abu Hanifa, that is Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Abu Muhammad al-Shaybani. Imam Tahawi has authored almost 40 different books, many of which are still available today. And Al-Aqidatu al-Tahawiyya, the book I am reviewing for you today, is important because it discusses Islamic belief or Aqidah. So what do we mean by the Islamic belief or our aqidah? So this actually refers to aspects which, number one, the heart brings iman in, number two, the soul is content with, and number three, which the tongue expresses. And this book then is a wonderful and basic text applicable for all times, which lists the creeds that a Muslim must know, believe, and inwardly comprehend. Of course, it is representative of the beliefs and views of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But what I really like about this translation and this commentary is that although Maulana has based his extensive research on the commentaries of various scholars, his version is presented beautifully, simply and briefly, and thus it would appeal to everyone, not just to students or academics. And this is because the focus is on explaining the correct belief, and of course this means that other intricacies are avoided. And this is one of the reasons why I recommend that you get hold of a copy, refresh your knowledge on the topic of Aqidah and the fundamentals of Deen. So after the compiler's preface, the book consists of 33 chapters and totals 167 pages, all of which discuss the Ilm al-Tawheed, that is the sciences of monotheism and the divine attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ilm al-Kalam, and Ilm al-Usul al-Deen, which is the knowledge pertaining to the fundamentals of Deen. But before we talk any further, let me inspire you by actually going through some of the chapters of the book. And chapter 1 talks about the oneness or wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala that negate any notion of plurality that could be ascribed to Him, whether that plurality be in His essence, attributes, or actions. Allah Ta'ala is one in His self, His attributes, and His actions. Other important aspects are discussed. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then this would help you in understanding certain intricacies of the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Fat, ayat number 10, where Allah ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, yadullahi fawqa aydihim," and that can be translated simply as, "The hand of Allah is over their hands." But what would you understand by that? So when you have a proper understanding of Aqidah, you would understand that we are actually very cautious when making the interpretation of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because we know that it is beyond our comprehension and our understanding. We believe, and we, in these verses of course, but we do not try to grasp its meaning. Other aspects such as nothing can incapacitate Allah Ta'ala, there is no deity besides Allah Ta'ala, are also discussed. And that's how the discussion progresses. Inter alia, amongst others, the sifat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the prophethood and the intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Qur'an, Taqdeer, the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the pen, the angel of death, punishment in the grave, and Jannat and Jahannam, all absolutely vital reading. I must stress that I found this discussion to be an amazing reference work and very, very enlightening, alhamdulillah. And indeed, it is Allah's command that we exercise our intellect in reflecting over His signs. So I would like to conclude this discussion with a little story about Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, which shows the importance of knowledge and intellect and how to use that knowledge. And once a group of atheists approached the great Imam Abu Hanifa with the intention of killing him. And the Imam asked them, what would they say about a person who claims that he has seen a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea, transporting the goods from one shore to another, but the goods are piled onto the ship automatically, and similarly they are offloaded by themselves upon reaching their destination. And the ship navigates the waves perfectly all by itself with no sailor to steer it. And of course they replied that no sane human would accept such a nonsensical contention. If a mere ship cannot sail smoothly without a sailor, how then can it ever be possible that this entire universe runs so perfectly without a controller? And upon hearing this, they were utterly embarrassed and immediately accepted Islam at the hands of Imam Abu Hanifa. So, alhamdulillah, very, very inspiring story. which then takes us into the Zoomspiration slot. This is a slot I have designed to inspire you and to assist you in your path to attain happiness. I remind you today that it's not he who responds to the distressed one when he calls him. So, to whom do we seek recourse during sorrow and call for help when afflicted? Under whose control is the universe? Who is beseeched by the creatures? Whose remembrance do the tongues constantly extol and the hearts revere? It is certainly Allah, the mighty and sublime. There is none worthy of worship but Him. It is your right and mine to beseech Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, during adversity and prosperity, in good and when evil prevails. We should resort to Him during misfortunes and supplicate to Him during troubles. Prostrate to Him, asking, crying, and repenting. And then His aid will come and His relief will hasten and His triumph will be given generously. If you grab this, you have everything. But if you miss this, you've missed everything. Indeed, your supplication is a form of worship. And I would like to take this opportunity to request that you remember myself and the rest of the Ummah in your du'as. If you would like to read a summary of the books I have reviewed thus far, then check out my Instagram account at zunaida.mw. Comments and queries are always welcome. I look forward to being in your company again next Friday, inshallah, same time, same place. With love and du'as, ma'as-salam.